Hey, you're back with the Get Out of Debt Guy show, and my name is Steve Rode. I'm the old Get Out of Debt Guy. Damon Day is the new Get Out of Debt Guy, and he's here with us today talking about, Damon, what are we talking about?
Well, we're tired of talking about debt,
yeah.
At least for today. So today we want to talk about saving,
ooh,
making money.
I like that. All right, so we're going to talk about saving and how to do better when you're just living on the edge. So, Damon, there are good products out there to help people to save, and we've talked about some of them in the past. Did you get a chance at all to look at Betterment.com?
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, how to do better with Betterment.
That would be a smile. That would be a commercial.
Yeah, and then your teeth, they'll sparkle off your teeth when you smile.
Ding!
Ding!
And the reason Betterment is one of the options that you can use, we're going to talk about that in general, but I would like to talk about why saving is important. Damon, you've talked to a lot of people over the years, being the professional debt coach, who have absolutely no reserve, have no money. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, I think we're almost as a culture, we're at a point where the credit cards are the reserve, and that's kind of people use the credit and they kind of build this notion around the card of, well, I need to have this credit available in case there's an emergency. And so when we talk about, especially when we get into a little bit more creative options to get out of debt, if they're in a situation where they just can't, Dave Ramsey, as you say, tiny feet their way out of it. Yeah. So, sometimes you're just in a situation where it's just, you're upside down and you need some major help, but it always goes back to, I have to have a credit card. I don't want to get rid of all my credit cards. I have to have this one credit card for this emergency. And then I go back to, well, if you had the cash in the bank, you wouldn't need the credit. And the other big thing I always point out, especially as their utilization ratios are getting to the point where they're maxed out and they're getting desperate, that available credit that you have that you're relying on just in case there's an emergency, that can get taken away from you with one letter from that credit card that says, you know what? We've reevaluated your life choices and we've decided that we don't want to be a part of it anymore.
Well, you look risky.
And they lower that credit limit. Yeah, they lower that credit limit on you. And so, $2,000 cash in the bank is much better for your family than $2,000 in available credit on a credit card that can be taken away, tomorrow.
I remember the very first credit card that I had, I got it in case of emergency. And I still distinctly remember my very first purchase at the Potomac Village Deli.
Sounds like an emergency.
The emergency was, it was my turn to buy the case of beer, and I didn't have any money.
It's an emergency, Steve.
I justified it to myself by saying, this is an emergency.
And my friends are all going to be disappointed.
Yeah,
I need this beer.
I need this beer. Yeah, so having money in the bank is not sexy. And the problem is that when you think about keeping your money in the bank these days, the savings rate that your bank is paying is like next to nothing. And so we end up with two problems. One, you never see any real return on your money when you're investing next to nothing. And number two, if you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck, month to month, then you just don't have any money to save. Now, my dad told me when I was a very young person, he said, Steve, no matter how much money you make in your life, your expenses are always going to grow to meet your income. And he's right. So unless we find a way to either cut back or make a reduction or make some extra money, you're never going to be able to save.
Yeah, and it's almost like when you do make that decision to go make extra money, you need to take a snapshot of your lifestyle and say, no matter what, for the next, 12 months, our budget, our lifestyle is going to stay the same. This extra money, like if you're going to go do a side hustle like we talk about on our Penny Stupid channel, or you're going to go drive for Lyft or Uber or DoorDash or Instacart or whatever you want to do to make that side money, you have to keep that separate. Like if you want to just say, you know what, I'm going to go, like if you wanted to right now today, I don't care what town you live in, where you're at, if you have a car and a phone, you could go out in the evenings when you're not working, whenever, early in the morning, whenever you want, And there are apps out there. Go to our Penny Stupid channel, check it out. But you can make easily $1,000 a month, easily. Like, I mean, you'd have to accidentally not make $1,000. You know, I mean, it's just, it's so easy to go out and do. I shouldn't say it's easy, but it's available. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
If you're wanting to save money and you have a little bit of time, you watch TV once in a while, whatever it is, these are very, very flexible things that you can do. And you don't have any money. Every last penny is accounted for, mm-hmm. and you're dialed back in your lifestyle. You're just not going to be able to save. Well, unless that's going to change in your current situation, if it doesn't look like it's going to change, you got to make that change now and go out and make that extra $500 a month or that $1,000 a month, and then keep it separate. Don't put it in your normal bank account. Put it completely separate. And so you can think of it as you're driving around, dropping people off or dropping off burritos for your future, but you have to start somewhere, and it can be small. It doesn't have to be big.
Right.
It could be a few $100 a month, and that might even seem big, but if you're making that extra couple of hundred, all of a sudden it's automatic. I mean, and this is a special example, but I went out New Year's Eve, Steve, right?
Absolutely.
And I made over $900 on New Year's Eve, dropping off people and burritos.
Yeah, you just drop that in an investment account and don't touch it. Now, one of the things that I've heard...
That was one night.
One of the things I've heard, Damon, over the years is when people go, well, I'm working a second job, I'm making extra money, but I'm working so hard, I deserve X, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so the money then gets spent. I find the better thing to do is, if you're making an extra $1,000 a month and you want to do that, you want to reward yourself somehow, do that. At least save 500 of it. You know, don't have to, it doesn't have to be all beans and rice and then spending all your money. You can find some sort of happy medium.
Some days you could put weenies in there. Beans and weenies. If you haven't tried it, you're missing out.
Hey, I ate lots of 5-cent biscuits and lots of ramen noodles growing up. So I'm there.
Well, according to some people, the ramen noodles, supposedly you're still in your stomach, but I call
beans. Yeah, that's a tapeworm.
Yeah, I was like, but they're good, though. It got me through college.
Well, let's talk about a couple investments. Damon, you've heard me talk about the treasury bonds, the I-series savings bonds. And when inflation is high, they're paying like 13-14% interest. Now, the advantage of those, right now, I think they're paying 5%. Because inflation is really low. And so they're adjusted for inflation. Now, the nice thing about it is they're adjusted for inflation. The base rate on those things is 1.3% plus an inflation adjustment. So you're always going to be at least making more than what the inflation rate is. And it's going to be guaranteed by the federal government. You're going to have to leave your money in there for a longer period of time. But it's, like almost the safest form of investing. Damon, we mentioned at the top about Betterment. Now, Betterment...
Hey, real quick on those I-Series bonds. Yeah. They were paying quite a bit more about 2 years ago.
Yeah, they were paying 14%. But that's because inflation was much higher 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, if you're worried about inflation, you think inflation's going to go way up, then look at... You can go to treasurydirect.gov and look at the I bonds. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. The current rate that they're paying is 5.27%. So you can,
which is not as awesome as 2 years ago when we were looking at them,
right?
But because now, what's Betterment paying in their savings? 4.75, something like that.
Yeah.
And there are some more banks now that are finally getting the hint that they're need to kick up their savings rate. So not, all normal, quote unquote, normal banks are still paying, a quarter, 0.5% a year. So they are starting to come up. That's the other side of the higher interest rates, right? So it's like, again, when rates are high, you don't want to be a debtor. You want to be somebody with money to invest.
Right.
Because now, 3 years ago, to get 5% return on your money was not that easy.
No.
And you had to take on some risk to get a 5% return. Now you have to fall into a bank.
Well, one of the nice things...
You get a CD at 5%,
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of CDs because, your money is just locked up really tight. But one of the advantages of Series I bonds, not only because they're 100% backed by the federal government, that you can invest as little as $25, and you can make a regular monthly investment. You just set up a trickle investment if you'd like. Now, another option is something called Betterment, betterment.com. I've actually been a customer of theirs for since the beginning, I think 2010 or earlier. And it is a really good self-directed investment platform where you can do something as complicated as roll over an IRA or 401k if you leave a job, or start a savings account. Now, they have savings vehicles, things you can invest in. Some of them are stocks and bonds, but they also now have this general investing fund where there's a pool of Main Street banks that the money gets split out to as you invest, and they're paying 4.75%. You can make an addition or withdrawal at any time for no fee. And a 4.75% investment is, if you just kept trickle investing right now, you will be surprised how many hundreds of thousands of dollars you'll have when you get ready for retirement. It's not sexy. It's not the latest trend. It's slow and steady wins the race. Now, here's another thing about Betterment. Once you have some money, it looks like it's about $20,000 in a 401k, IRA, something like that, or just regular savings. Once you have that amount of money, you can get a free consultation with a certified financial planner that'll make a customized plan how to invest. If you don't want to do that, they automatically have plans that you can select, and the fees for this thing are just really low. And you can select, I want to plan for retirement. And it will automatically adjust your investment portfolio as you get closer and closer to retirement. It'll make it less aggressive and more stable. You can self-direct everything. Now, if you had money that you have in an emergency fund, you can put it in Betterment. Look and see what your bank is paying you right now, wherever you have that stash. If you put it in something like Betterment, 4.75%, and you could get to it. Your withdrawal is going to be like an ACH withdrawal. It's going to take 1 to 3 days, just like everyone does. If you had an emergency where you could wait to have your money in 3 days, then you can use something like Betterment, maximize your return, and still have access to your money for no additional cost.
Yeah, because that's paying that's paying more than what most CDs were paying 2 years ago.
Yeah, well. So let me see. Let me try to do the mental math. If you had
CDs, it takes longer than 3 days to get your money out.
That's true. And you have to pay a penalty if it's if you're taking it out early. Now, let me see if I can do this. Okay, Damon. So right now, if you had about $15,000 in an emergency fund, that sounds like a lot, but
ball out.
Yeah, but if you did almost 15 days like Damon did driving this weekend, or 15 weeks of like when Damon drives and makes money, you could have 15 grand. If you just let that money ride, you're looking at, at the end of a year, almost an additional $1,000 that you didn't have to work for. And then as you let that ride, it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and making money for yourself.
Hey, you got your calculator in front of you?
I do not. I have the web in front of me.
Oh, I was going to say, if you can do some mental math real quick, just like five, like I said, you can go out and drive. You could easily make $500, $1,000 a month, whatever you're, it depends, but do like $1,000 a month.
Okay.
In a Betterment account, yeah. 4.75 in 20 years. And you just keep, you go out in there and you drive it, and there's so many different apps that you can do. If you don't like people, everybody's got an excuse for everything. But check out our channel over at Penny Stupid on YouTube. There's all kinds of different things that you can do. If you don't like having strangers in your car, you don't want your car to smell like burritos or whatever it is, there's so many different things. You can find something that you can do and easily make just an extra $1,000 a month, completely part-time. You don't have to get hired by anybody. You don't have to get somebody's permission. You just can go do it whenever you want. The feeling kicks in. You decide you're tired of watching, you know, that show for the 50th time, and you have an extra hour. You can go out and make $20 or whatever it is. And you put $1,000 a month in an account that you're not currently making right now, so it doesn't cut into your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. When I go driving, and I only drive part-time a couple days a week.
Yeah.
I make $3,000-$4,000. Now I live in Phoenix and stuff like that, but you know, and I shoot for about $40 an hour when I go out and drive, and you know, I'm pretty strategic about it. So that's what I'm saying. $1,000 a month is easy to make.
All right, Damon, let's look at the numbers. If you put $1,000 a month, and you started with $1,000, we're assuming you're just making an extra $1,000 a month. And don't forget that as the months and years go by, hopefully that $1,000 becomes $1,500, becomes $2,000 or whatever. But if you're only saving $1,000 a month with some extra money, at the end of the year, at 4.75% interest, that's going to be about $13,300. Now, I wouldn't kick $13,000 out of bed for eating crackers. So that's good money. Now, if
I haven't heard that before.
if you do that steadily for 10 years, a little side hustle every month for 10 years, 4.75%, which is that Betterment cash savings account.
Is
going to be $154,000. That's a lot better than having nothing in the bank.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think you need to start out and make any sort of investing complicated. You just need to start doing something. And then you can get all, I don't know, hokey pokey or whatever in the stock market and, you know, strategy and everything else. You know, any service like Charles Schwab, Vanguard, you know, or Betterment that has the ability to invest that money and set it up on an automatic strategy and not touch it is going to be great for you.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest things I hear from clients that don't have any savings, it's actually pretty consistent. It's, well, I can't save because I'm in debt.
Right.
And I'm paying 25%, you know, 28%, 29% on these debts. What sense does it make for me to take $100 and put it in a savings account that's paying 4.75% when I could take that $100 and pay off the debt? Mm-hmm. So, Steve, I'm going to get your take on that because there's arguments on both sides.
Yeah.
You know, there's the psychological argument and the, you know, human nature side of the argument. And then there's the straight math.
Yes.
Of course, the straight math says, you know, in a perfect world, if you're existing in a vacuum, you pay off all the debt first. But the problem is, what happens if that debt never seems to get paid off? Right?
Well,
are your thoughts on that?
If you can't, if you find yourself having been unable to pay off the debt, generally it means that the money is being used for something else. I totally understand the math completely. But I think that, you know, debt is never about the debt. It's about the underlying issues and situations that led to it. I would personally much rather see, after 30 plus years helping people, I would much rather see somebody take, let's say it's $100 debt, $25 a month into that savings account while paying down $25 a month on that debt. I think you've got to do both at the same time. Screw the math. You got to think, what is my money personality? In fact, if you go to my website, getoutofdebt.org, there's a money personality calculator that it'll show you what your unconscious approach to money is. And that will help inform you about what you need to do. Damon, if you leave people on their own to develop their own strategy, they're going to wind up doing nothing. And this is what frightens me about the talk that we've had over the many years of the government saying we need to privatize Social Security and people need to make their own investments. It's not going to happen. Not everybody is good at math. Not everybody's good at everything. Some people love spreadsheets and keeping things organized. And here's a dirty little secret. So, you know, I've been the Get Out Debt guy for 30 years. Damon is the new Get Out Debt guy. And both of us absolutely just hate budgets. Right? I mean,
hate budgets.
I always call budgets a page of lies because you know, people just make up numbers that they put down on there. It doesn't really mean anything. What's your approach on budgets, Damon?
What's a budget?
Yeah.
No, budgets are good to give you a snapshot, to like have you force you to sit down and put numbers on paper and realize where your money's going. Mm-hmm. They're good for that. They're not good for changing habits and, day-to-day decisions. Nobody's walking around with their budget in their pocket, these days on your phone or whatever, but you don't like go, oh, I'm really hungry, let me check my budget. Like you just, there's Taco Bell, I'm going to go eat, you're not like, and some people can do that. And some people do that.
Right.
Most people cannot and or do not
right. Do
that. It's not how you want to live your life, or you'll do it for a week or two. It's kind of like go to the gym right now. Bet it's crowded.
January 2nd. Yeah.
Bet the gym's crowded. Go in March. Bet it's not crowded.
Yeah, people always
just have a whole bunch of people going, I want to quit the gym, but they make me go in person to quit and I can't go down there.
I'm ashamed.
They don't let you quit over the phone. Yeah.
Now,
you ever see that Friends episode trying to quit the gym?
No.
Yeah, Chandler couldn't quit the gym because he had to go down there and they'd always intimidate him and, oh, what are you, a slob or whatever. So Ross bucks up and goes with him.
Yeah.
And then they both come back with gym memberships. Like Ross was supposed to be the moral support. He ended up getting a membership.
So true. Yeah. So, the other thing I find about budgets is people write down these numbers. Now, what's fascinating is 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was, when I had, the 20,000 debt clients, we did a study and we asked people to do a budget when they first came to us. And then we did it like a couple months later, asking them to track their expenses. And what we found was that 75% of those people, their budget was incorrect by more than $400 a month, meaning their expenses were $400 or more higher per month that they never accounted for in their budget. And so when you sit down and make a budget, it's almost like guaranteeing that you're going to fail, because you're going to make a budget at the end of the month, you're not going to be able to keep up with it. And I mean, how many people sit down and go, I screwed up, I'm taking responsibility for this? No, you're going to quit is what you're going to do. Or the other thing about budgets that drives me crazy is people think they can cut all the fun out of their lives and they're going to be able to keep up on it. Like no cable, no movies, no Taco Bell. We're not doing anything. And then after a month, everyone quits.
Yeah. Yeah. I get, when I have clients do budget worksheets, not to have something where they, like I said, where they, develop habits from or anything, but just to give us a snapshot. Just, mm-hmm. And most of my clients, when they send it back to me, a lot of them say, I didn't realize, how negative the cash flow was. I didn't realize how bad it was. This is the first time I've really ever sat down and gone through the bills, and really seen where everything is going. Because there's always two approaches. Well, there's multiple approaches. But when you're trying to get out of debt and you're trying to figure it out, obviously you want to first look at what resources you have already. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at what you're making and where it's going. Maybe we can utilize some of that. But that's not the only way to do it. Sometimes you got to also then go, okay, based on these numbers, unless I'm going to make some drastic Dave Ramsey-esque lifestyle changes, like eating beans and rice and, having some stranger move into our 4-bedroom house and we'll bunk up our kids together and we're going to rent this room out or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Short of some drastic lifestyle changes, we don't have enough money coming in to pay all the bills that we currently have, plus make any kind of dent in this debt. Right.
Right.
And then we definitely don't have anything for savings or for emergency or anything like that, which is why that cycle just continues and that debt just continues to grow, because it's like that emergency inevitably comes up, just goes on the credit card. So that's where figuring out ways you can make some extra money on top of the money that you're already making come into play. And then that's also where, if that's maxed out or you can't do that, that's where we start looking at some of these more creative strategies that a lot of people don't like to talk about. But we talk about settlement, you talk about bankruptcy, you talk about, hey, let's, look at this for what it is. And if there's not a realistic way you can dig yourself out of it, let's talk about some smart ways that we can get out of it and do better moving forward. Forget about the past. It's a new year's 2024. We need to do better moving forward. Sometimes you just got to rip the Band-Aid off and just get out of the debt. Just negotiate some settlements with the creditors, file a bankruptcy.
Yeah, you absolutely have to do that.
Whatever.
Because what sense does it make to spend the next 5 years trying to repair the past? Screw it. You made a mistake. You screwed up. Let's do better moving forward and take you on to success. Now, Damon, you're going to love this segue here. I guarantee it. Because one of the things that we were going to talk about in this podcast was about more about that side hustle, how to start making that $1,000 a month. But we're not going to do that, Damon, because you got to go over to our YouTube Penny Stupid channel and watch this podcast, this video podcast over there, because you'll be able to know which one it is because we'll be wearing the exact same clothes.
Oh, is this, I thought we were just doing an audio podcast.
We are.
Is this a video podcast?
No.
How would they know?
But we can make it an audio podcast. Well,
you mean a video podcast?
We'll do that.
You can do it.
You can do it. Whatever that is, we are going to do that. So, yeah, we'll turn it into a video podcast also. And
as a special treat for the listeners, you get to be watchers. What's that noise? That's you, dude.
I know. It's my wife calling.
My ringtone for Kathy is, she came in like a wrecking ball.
Oops.
What? We're going to put that on the video.
Crap. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Very professional here, folks. We keep it real.
Yeah, well, that's,
we keep it 100, as the kids say these days.
Oh, God. All right, Damon. So let's end it here. I will see you.
So here's the thing. We are going to do the side hustle podcast, but like you said, we're just going to do it on the other channel. Mm-hmm. So it's a shameless plug to go get more subscribers on our other channel.
Well,
for a penny stupid, but it's good information. Hey, you want to hear all about how I made over $900 on New Year's Eve? Penny Stupid. Go check us out on YouTube.
Yep. YouTube.com/@PennyStupid will take you to the channel. If you haven't subscribed yet to this audio podcast, the Get Out of Debt Guy podcast, be sure to do that. And for now, Damon, I'm going to say, see ya.
Peace.